I am, quite literally, from another age. I was born during the Holocene, the name given by scientists to the 12,000-year period of climatic stability that allowed humans to settle, farm, and create civilizations. Those conditions fostered our unique minds, giving rise to international trade in ideas, as well as goods, and making us the globally connected species that we are today. Much of what will be discussed here is the consequence of that stability. Global businesses, international cooperation, and the striving for ideals, these are all possible because for millennia, on a global scale, nature has been largely predictable and stable. Now, in the space of one human lifetime, indeed, in the space of my lifetime, all that has changed. The Holocene has ended. The Garden of Eden is no more. We have changed the world so much that scientists say that we are now in a new geological age, the Anthropocene, the age of humans.
Great dark dog clouds scream, screaming, barking along the whole western horizon in a prodigious uproar of mad goodbyes to the city in burning embers that the sunset slowly unravels in its high abyss. They bark at the red, gray colors, at your colors, God, the colors of your coronation, my coronation, at night, at the colors of your home, at your colors, with no other name or destiny than the present beauty, dark or clear. Succeeding beauty, dark or clear, which is the same in the symbiosis of our grace. You contain yourself by restraining me. What a miraculous tongue. The sun, night having fallen, raises in those cloud dogs. What a tongue of unity, which forces you and me, like them, to shout of love, of glory, of joy, to shout also of dark joy. What a religious tongue, where the dog and you and I become one within a movement of glorious expression.
my God! Woo! Oh, wow! Woo! Yeah! Oh! Oh my God! Oh my God! Look at that! It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. What does this mean? Oh my God. Oh God. It's so bright. Oh my God. It's so bright and vivid. Oh. It's so beautiful.
Sounds of birds and by the sounds of wind and the trees and all of that. And I think that has definitely changed my way of approaching sound. It has made me realize that we are constantly bathed in sonorous resonance. I think there's a difference between a man-made sound and the sound, for example, of a waterfall. Of course, a waterfall might be created by man, maybe, but I feel like you can be near a waterfall and be hearing that sound over and over and over again. But if a car is doing the same exact sound for a long time, you probably would want to get out. I've been questioning what it means for volume, noise to be the same, but coming from a different source, and for that to kind of affect our own human tolerance. When I was maybe 26, I went to the desert with my clarinet, my bass clarinet, and two friends of mine. And we were just trying to get lost. The idea was to record some of me playing bass clarinet in the middle of the desert. It was actually the day of a new moon. I go and I do a first kind of scream on the bass clarinet, and I kind of all of a sudden felt a ring of presences around me. I didn't want to necessarily think of this, it just kind of the visualization of it came to me that there were all of these things near me. I don't know if they were bugs. I don't know if it was but it just felt like all around me there were presences. And the second feeling that I found was, who am I to come in here with a fucking instrument and just make a random sound and disturb whatever this thing is? The desert is always has these weird, mysterious little gifts of wisdom. I'm not saying nature is perfect, but it just felt like I had come in trying to do something musical, even within this landscape, within this reality that didn't need my anthropomorphic musical vision of that moment. That was not necessary. Nothing about that was necessary. You know, the crickets right now and the wind and everything we're hearing, even the cows, there's a kind of randomness, a kind of chance-based thing that I think we're quite attuned to living near it, living with it, as opposed to, you know, if all of this was digitally made, I think we would have a little bit more trouble maybe concentrating, or a little bit more trouble relating to it or feeling at home inside of it. Where potentially the most powerful thing to do is not to enunciate more as humans, but to listen. I feel like it's very important to have a moment where we can all share a collective listening. And I think in many, many moments where I've been confronted with nature, I feel like the kind of listening that you need to arrive into is particular and potentially helpful to understanding actually how to move forward, especially in a moment like now. How do we listen again? Or how do we, you know, embody the listening? There's different aspects of ourselves that we can question, and the most difficult ones are truly the foundations of what makes us just even able to think, right? I mean, even our language has, you know, so much ideological violence. Even the way that we might speak to each other as, for example, you are you, and I am me, and I have a word to say me, and I have a word to say you. We can be linguistically separated. While right now, the air we breathe is absolutely the same, but the air we breathe, where is it in language? For the kind of transformation that we all feel like we need also a kind of total foundational questioning. One of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is that I'm often having conversations about boats, and I really want to have a conversation about the sea. I think we need to be willing potentially to drown in the difficulty of the sea, as opposed to holding on to a boat whose foundations are rotten and already dead, and promote death, which is a lot of what surrounds us, a lot of how we have constructed our experience.
Listening then to it. absorbed rather than intensified. Such is the profound serenity of the Tao, in contrast with artificial ruptures and all emphatic epiphenomenality. And in the following passage, blandness and silence are the same thing. The great process of nature is simple and easy. Likewise, the most beautiful music is uncomplicated. The virtue of the Tao is plain and bland. It possesses neither sound nor flavor. As the music is uncomplicated, so yin and yang communicate spontaneously. Where there is an absence of flavor, all beings are spontaneously happy. These lines are from an essay in which the political moral interpretation of music, as inherited from ancient times, still dominates, and so it does not identify the ideal of neither sound nor flavor as such. Also, note that the quality of blindness is here applied more specifically to the
your call to the right place, I'll need to know why you're calling today. So tell me in a few words, what's the reason for your call? You can say things like, change my appointment, or I haven't been paid my job seeker's allowance. About a loan, is that right? About a loan. Sorry, let's try another way.
All our advisors are currently busy. Could you please hold whilst I wait to connect you?
Hello, you're speaking to Maureen. We're doing ringbacks at the moment, so I can direct you. Can you tell me, is it about entry clearance, European, immigration or British nationality? Hello? Speaking to Maureen. If there's no one there, I'll have to end the call. Okay, I'm going to have to end the call then.
Good afternoon. Speaking to Debbie. How may I help? Hello? Hello?
Income Support, Barry speaking, how can I help you? Hello? Hello, I can't hear anybody. Is anybody there? All I can hear is what sounds like background noise. I'm going to terminate the call. I'm terminating the call.
Good afternoon, you're through to Job Seekers Alliance and Clarity Line. My name's Sarah, it's in the contact centre. How can I help? Hello? Good afternoon, you're through to Incapacity Benefits at Makerfield Contact Centre. My name's Vicky, how can I help? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Good afternoon. Good morning there. You're speaking with Matthew. How can I help you today? Hello? Okay, if I don't get taken off hold, I'm gonna have to hang up the call.
Thank you for waiting. Please continue to hold and we will answer your call as soon as possible.
Good afternoon, you're through to Job Centre Plus. You're speaking to Mandy at Lincoln Service Centre. Can I confirm you're calling today to claim a benefit? Good afternoon, you're through to Norwich Service Centre. My name's Karen, how can I help? Hello?
Hello there, you're through to Tom. How can I help?
Hello? Hello, if you're not able to come to the phone, I will have to end this call. Hello? Hello? I'm now going to end the call. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, you're with Sophie. How can I help you? Hello?
Modern Spanking. Online banking, private banking, secret banking, silent banking, subtle banking, discreet banking, confidential banking, anonymous banking, overseas banking, over the knees banking, upstairs banking, backdoor banking, badly behaved banking, VIP banking, CCTV banking, RSVP banking, Teletubby banking, Lala banking, Haha banking, Wishful banking, Whitewash banking, Dry Clean banking, Stain Free banking, Ephemeral banking, Effortless banking, Thin as Air banking, Almost Not There banking, So Hidden It's Almost Forgotten banking, So Soft It Almost Feels Like Cotton banking, Somewhere Up in the Clouds banking, Oops I Hit It Again banking, Woke Up Like This banking, Not Woke But Aware banking, What's In Your Pocket You Happy To See Me banking, Hole In The Ground I Hit It There banking, Got A Designer Wallet But Not Much In It banking, At The Back Of My Head banking, At The Tip Of My Tongue banking, Under The Sole Of My Feet banking, Doing My Head In, banking, bank, 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 banking. Knock, knock, who's there? Banking. Your accountant's mother, banking. Up your ass, banking. Breathing down your neck, banking. Stabbing an open wound, banking. Stirring the coffee in the cream, banking. Severely senile, banking. Numerical dyslexic, banking. Poor but sexy, banking. Sexy but bankrupt banking, sexy pinstripe suit banking, it's got inner pockets banking, that's where I keep my cash banking, nothing between me and my expensive underwear but my own expenses banking.
so central to Marx's argument that he defines the labor process and he defines production as the metabolic relation between human beings and nature. He defines production itself in terms of metabolism, in terms of this process. And Marx, in developing on Liebig's argument, argued that there was a metabolic rift, a rift in the metabolism, and that he talked about an irreparable rift in the metabolism or the social metabolism, because production is social and the metabolism he was talking about was social as well as ecological. It's the connection between humanity and nature in through production. And he's talking about the robbing of the soil and the elementary elements of the soil and the need to restore this metabolism, the restoration of this, which was an absolute necessity for human society. And he developed a whole notion of sustainability based on this. So his definitions, his discussions of sustainability are among the most radical, maybe the most radical you could ever find. Marx argued in Capital that no one owns the earth. No one owns the earth. No one on the planet together owns the earth. They only hold it in. No one
owns. The San Francisco Pride Parade is brought to you by Bud Light. For great taste that won't fill you up and never lets you down, make it a Bud Light.
And coming up next, we have a group. They're very proud in more ways than one. They have gay pride and they have sobriety pride.
Truly something to be proud about. Woo! Someone threw me a key ring.
What'd you guess?
I caught a key ring. A Miller Time key ring. Right. The gay community, of course, stretches into all aspects of the community, and that includes business. Oh, here comes Willie Brown.
And there he is with his purple hat and his Macy's shirt. I'd just like to mention that the car that Mabel Tang was in happened to be a Mercury.
If you want color, you want characters, you want San Francisco quirky
now,
and wild, this is
you,
the place to be.
I could tell you that that convertible you just saw there is a Pontiac convertible.
It's for the Hard Rock Cafe, and they're a major sponsor of the Pride Parade today. They believe in love all, serve all, save the planet, and all is one.
You're watching right now Swatch, a proud sponsor of Camel Jams, K-M-E-L. And I just created a no-no, because you don't call it camel anymore, it's K-M-E-L.
And you know, the sense I get here, Jim, being here for the first time, is just the richness that is here.
$500.
Thousands of dollars.
$1,000 and $2,000 here and there. $6,000. $50,000. $150,000. $1.6 million a year.
It just adds a lot of legitimacy, a lot of credibility, and it just shows you that, you know.
Tons of money. They're great people.
I like the idea of the Lavender Chamber of Commerce.
Well, you know, it's getting cold here.
Here today to demonstrate the pride of the leather community. Does wearing leather make you one of the leather folk? If you want a really fabulous leather outfit, what's it going to set you back?
We're very thankful for the Stonewall drag queens and transgender people that started the whole movement in New York in 1969. And
okay, well, thank you very much.
They are cosmetically enhanced.
Excuse me. What do you mean?
Well, apparently had things done to themselves, surgically.
Okay, well, I think, you know, it's about time that we could take a break here.
The San Francisco Pride Parade is brought to you by Bud Light.
And therefore, Kenny, do you take this
woman? This is a woman?
For the great taste that won't fill you up and never let you down.
I do.
Make it a Bud Light.
Okay, ask me something, Sean. Ask me why I said this is going to be probably my last parade.
Jim, why is this going to be your last parade?
It's going to be my last parade because, well, as you've probably been reading in the papers, as we have sold...
Chances of the shutdown are starting to show. The National Park Service forced to take the extraordinary step of using reserve funds from visitor fees to cart away the trash that is piled up and to keep the parks safe.
You
This place is a mess, Yogi. What's going on?
Yeah. Hope you're all doing good enough. It's a very strange situation. It's a bit funny to discover that some of my ideas are now being acted out in real time across Earth. I find it actually deeply disturbing. I wish they weren't. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, that this coronavirus thing is a hyperobject. And yeah, it has all the right properties. It's so big and vast, you can't point to it all at once. And it's phenomenologically viscous. In other words, it sort of sticks to you, literally. Wherever you are, it gets under your skin. Not just physically, but the idea of it gets under your skin. You know, the response to it is under your skin. The mediatization of it is under your skin.
That's just the way it goes. This city is so cold. And I'm so sick. That's why I say hey. Born to lose. Born to lose. Born to lose. Maybe I was born to lose. Nothing to do. And nothing to say. Only one thing that I know. It's the only way. I said hit it. Born to lose. I say hey. Born to lose, I say hey. Born to lose. Baby, I was born to lose. Baby, I was born to lose. Living in a jungle. It ain't so hard, instant song lyrics. But living in the city, it'll lead out, eat out your heart. I said, hey. Born to lose, I say, hey. Born to lose, I say, hey. Born to lose. Baby, I was 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 born to. Born to lose. Born to lose. Born to lose. Baby, I'm born to lose. Baby, I'm born to lose. Born to lose. Born to lose. Born to lose. Baby, I'm born to lose.
Never see me again.